How's everyone doing this morning? Good. My name's Nick Cadoon. I'm one of the pastors here, pastor of Creative Arts and Worship. And like Sandy said, I get to preach this morning, so it's going to be fun. It was fun at 9. It'll be fun today. All right, well, hey, this morning, today, we're in the middle of a series on relationships, and it's called Stronger. And it's in the series that we're talking about getting stronger in our relationships, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our families, and in our homes. And something that we're saying in this series, something we want to remind ourselves of each and every week, each and every day, is that getting stronger starts now. Getting stronger starts now. Regardless of where you're at, regardless of how good or maybe how bad your relationships are, we can always get better. We can always improve, always get stronger. And we want our relationships to be ones that are strong, right? Ones that are thriving and growing and God-honoring. Ones that reflect the intention of God when he created man and woman in his image. We want our relationships, our marriages, to be ones that our friends and our family and our kids, that they look up to as the model of a healthy relationship, of what healthy, God-honoring relationships are to look like. We want this area of our lives to be strong. We need this area of our lives to be strong. And so for the last 2 weeks today and for the next few weeks, we're going to be putting disproportionate energy into teaching on marriage, on family, on relationships, and digging into this, into God's word, seeing what he has to say for us on this topic. You know, in Genesis, the book of Genesis, we see that in the beginning, that God created everything, right? He creates light, sun, moon, stars, planets. He creates the earth. He creates land and sea, plants and animals. He creates everything. God is the creator. And he created everything with a certain ideal of how it was all supposed to function together, of how everything was supposed to work and exist. And that includes us. That includes humanity, men and women made in the image and likeness of God, made to be in relationship with him, our creator, made for love and for intimacy and for affection, made to be in relationship with one another. And one such relationship, in fact, the greatest of all human relationships is marriage. And so if we're going to preach on this topic today, if we want our marriages to be strong, then we need to consult with the one who created them, the one who created this beautiful and good thing called marriage and all that goes with it, love, sex, friendship, communication, parenting. God designed this thing called marriage. So let's ask him, God, what is marriage supposed to look like? What is your ideal? That's what we're doing this morning. We're going to look at God's word. We're going to dig in. We're going to ask him to speak to us by his word and by his spirit, shaping us, molding us, maybe even challenging some of us this morning and our preconceived understandings of what marriage is to look like. And one of those things that we're going to talk about this morning is this topic of foxes. Kind of sounds weird, right? Foxes. All right, when you see a picture of a fox, what comes to mind? This little reddy brown canine creature. When you picture foxes, when you think of foxes, what's the first couple words that come to mind? Tell your neighbors. Tell them. What's the first couple words that come to mind? All right. Did you guys do it? How many of you said cute? Did anyone say cute? There's a few of you. All right. Anyone say like adorable, cuddly? You want one as a pet? Did anyone say that? We had someone at 9 a.m. say that. Did any of you just start like hearing that song in your head? What does the fox say? Anyone? All week, that's me. I've just been like playing it over and over again. All right. You know, foxes might be seen as cute. They might be seen as, you know, adorable and cuddly. We might want one as a pet. But the truth is, friends, foxes are sly. They're hard to catch. They're sneaky. They're dirty. They're scavengers. Did you know that? They're scavengers. They eat the leftovers, those things that are dead and that no other animal wants. They're scavengers. And they have this keen ability to get themselves into places that they do not belong. And there are real foxes, the Bible says, foxes that we must guard ourselves and our marriages from, or else we're in real danger of those foxes destroying our vineyards that are in bloom. foxes, while they look cute, while they look adorable, in reality, they steal, they kill, and they destroy. So what are these foxes? What do foxes look like? What do foxes have to do with marriage? Well, in the Old Testament book of Song of Songs, also known as the Song of Solomon or the greatest of songs, we read a peculiar verse dealing with this topic of foxes. See, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, come along with me to the book of Song of Songs, chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'm going to invite our hosts to come forward and to hand out our house Bibles. If you want to follow along with the Word of God in your hands this morning and you want to use one of these house Bibles, just put your hand up and our hosts will gladly lend you one of these house Bibles. Again, that's Song of Songs, chapter 2. That's page 673 in the house Bibles. And while you're flipping there, while you're going to Song of Songs, chapter 2, let me give us some context and background to this book before we just jump on in. The Song of Songs has been interpreted in a variety of ways. It's been interpreted as a drama between a man and a woman, and they've got some friends that kind of chime in once in a while. It's been interpreted as a drama between a man and woman and a shepherd boy, kind of this love triangle thing that's happening. It's also this book being interpreted as an allegorical description of Yahweh's love for Israel or Christ's love for the church. Right, it's been interpreted in a variety of ways. It's even been interpreted as a book to go to for like pickup lines, right? Any guys out there try to do this? You try to win over the love of your life with a line from Song of Songs and impress your wife? It doesn't really work, right? I was like, Katie, your hair is like a flock of goats descending Mount Gilead. She's like, what? I smell like a goat? And I'm like, Katie, like your temples are like the halves of pomegranates. She's like, I have big temples? No, it doesn't really work, right? That's not the way to interpret this book. It's not to tell us, you know, ancient pickup lines that King Solomon or King David used back in the day. It's been interpreted in a variety of ways. However, according to Old Testament scholar, theologian, author, and professor Tremper Longman III, this book in our Bibles, really in its most basic form, in its most kind of intended form, it's a poetic Hebrew love song depicting love in all of its spontaneity, in its beauty, its power, its pursuit, and its exclusiveness. The Song of Songs, friends, is a love song delighting in God's good gift of creation and included in that gift of creation, his good gift of marriage. And this song is in our Bibles, not just as like an erotic anthology or as an allegory of God's love for me and for you, but this song has been given to us as God's voice on this matter of marriage. Again, God's creator. He made marriage. He invented it. And so he has a thing or two to say about it. And so the Song of Songs is here in our Bibles to provide us his divine insight into this topic. It's also to bring divine correction, right teaching on this topic of marriage. Culture says one thing, but God says another. So God says, I want you to look at my word. What does my word say? What do I say about marriage and relationships? Don't listen to culture. What do I say? You know, as a side note, as alluded to by Pastor Sandy 2 weeks ago when he kicked off this series, another goal of ours in this stronger series is to combat what culture says about dating, sex, relationships, marriage with what the true, inerrant, living Word of God says. It's to combat what culture says with the Word of God. You know, now more than ever before, we need to unashamedly preach the truth about marriage and sexuality. We need to teach this to our kids, to our teens, our young adults, our adults, our seniors. We need to teach it in general. And we need to fight culture. We need to win back the ground that we've lost over the years, reclaiming this area of our lives as something that is good, that is beautiful, that is awesome, but when it's done the way God intended it to be. And so come back on Sunday, May 31st. Pastor Sandy's going to be preaching a sex series. I'm like, whew, it's not me this time. Yes. So come back. It's 14A. So parents, it's your discretion if you want your kids or your teens to be in here, but 14A, come back for that. It's going to be great. You don't want to miss it. All right, enough about that. Song of Songs. This book is given to us as a taste and a glimpse of what marriage was and is intended to be by God. And it's here to show us also the realities of marriage. Yes, marriage has its ups, has its awesome points, but it also has its downs. Let's be realistic. It has its beauty, its intrigue, its enjoyment, but it also has its troubles and its frustrations. Who here is married? Anyone married? Anyone been married? Not me. I'll put my hand down. I am married. Right. And so would you say that marriage is awesome? Marriage is fun. It's exciting. It's enjoyable. But would you also say that marriage is hard? It comes with its troubles and frustrations. Sometimes your spouse drives you crazy. Sometimes you drive your spouse crazy, right? Yeah, exactly. Marriage is fun. You know, it was created by God for our enjoyment, but it's also hard. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. The success of our marriages is not just dependent solely upon our love or affection for one another, but it's dependent also upon our hard work. It's dependent upon our intentionality to guard our marriage, to guard ourselves and our spouse, so that nothing can come in and negatively affect us. And this includes not just guarding ourselves from those big bad things, you know, like infidelity. That's a big topic of discussion. We need to talk about that too, but it's also, we need to guard ourselves from those little things. Those things that kind of seem like, oh, that doesn't matter. No, it really does matter. We need to guard ourselves from the little foxes, Scripture says, that could damage our vineyards. We need to identify those little things as well. We need to eradicate those little things from our marriages that could cause hurt and pain and marital breakdown. So picking up at Song of Songs chapter 2, again, page 673 in your house Bibles. Let's read the word of the Lord this morning. Song of Songs chapter 2, verse 1. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love. Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Listen. My beloved, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." Verse 14, "My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." Verse 15, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. My beloved is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or like a young stag on the rugged hills." Back to verse 15, our theme verse for today. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. This chapter in the book of Song of Songs, it's this conversation going on between the man and the woman. It's kind of describing to us their love. But it also has this little passage in here talking about the foxes. Marriage has its ups, but also has its downs. The foxes, catch for us the foxes that ruin our vineyards. So what are these foxes? Simply put, little foxes are those seemingly innocent things that sneak into our relationships. They're those things that we do, maybe those things that we don't do. And many times we don't even realize that we're doing or not doing these things, that over time they cause hurt, friends. They cause stress, they cause frustration, maybe feelings of isolation in a marriage, and they have the potential to cause over time serious marital breakdown. Little foxes are those things that are easy to overlook. They're the small things, the inconspicuous things, and they're unexpected. Again, we're not talking this morning about those big, giant, in-your-face challenges that some marriages can go through. Those are real. We do need to talk about those sometimes. But this morning, we're talking about those little things, kind of those hidden things, invisible things to us sometimes, but that are still there, and still nonetheless, they are dangerous to the health and well-being of our marriages. As described in Song of Songs, these little foxes eat at the roots of our vineyards, the roots of our love, the roots of our manhood or our womanhood. They eat at the roots of our marriage foundation, and in turn, they can damage and destroy our relationship with our spouse. These little foxes have the potential to cause serious marital issues. And the man in the Song of Songs says, catch for us. We must catch these little foxes before it's too late. Now, a little fox could be the lack of love or the lack of respect in a marriage. A little fox could be the breakdown in communication between a husband and wife. A little fox could be that you're too tired or you're too busy for your spouse, or maybe that you're too short with him or her, or that you're impatient with them. A little fox could be that your spouse is no longer your highest priority in life, and instead that place that your spouse should be occupying in your life has been filled with something or someone else. Something like your job or your kids or maybe a hobby or your friends. That's a little fox. And if left unaddressed, this will cause serious marriage complications and issues. It's only a matter of time. You know, another little fox could be using too much sarcasm when you communicate with your spouse. Maybe it's that you like to poke fun at your spouse or that you like to embarrass them once in a while. A little fox could be that you tell little white lies, or it could be that you have unrealistic and therefore unmet expectations in your marriage. A little fox could be that you've let yourself go over the years and that you no longer care about your appearance. You no longer care about being your best self for your spouse. That's a little fox. Things like resentment towards your spouse, however small or big, or disagreements with your spouse, or a lack of trust of your spouse, or the fact that husbands, sometimes you don't actually listen to your wives when they're talking to you, right? That's a little fox. That's a little fox. And if left unchecked, if left to roam around the vineyards of our marriages, if these little foxes aren't caught and eradicated from our relationships immediately, they will cause damage over time, even destruction of entire relationships. It's the little things. These little foxes are dangerous. They might seem inconspicuous, but they're dangerous. They're not cute. They're not excusable, and they do not belong in our marriages. However small or insignificant they might seem, they are here to only kill, steal, and destroy. So while we don't have time to talk about every little fox that we just listed, I think this passage kind of speaks to a number of them. So I want to talk about four foxes today. Four foxes that I think this passage talks to. And so without further ado, let's jump on in to the text this morning. Fox number one, the first fox I want to talk about is the fox of pursuit. Pursuit. Or perhaps a lack thereof. In Song of Songs chapter 2, starting at verse 8, this is understood as the woman speaking. She says these words, "Listen, my beloved, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice." What the woman is describing here in the song is the fact that her lover, her man, her future husband, he is pursuing her. He is pursuing her. His heart is for her. His desire is to be with her. He longs for her. And so, like a gazelle or a young stag, he is chasing after her, pursuing her with all of his love, his passion, his full energy and vigor. Are there any hunters in the house? Anyone like to hunt and eat deer meat? Yeah, deer meat. You know how fast a white-tailed deer runs away from you, man. They're fast. They are fast. And that's what this woman is describing. The pursuit of her man for her. He's running after her, chasing after her, getting rid of obstacles. He's pursuing her. Men, I'm going to talk to you for a moment. Your wives need you to pursue them. Your wives want to be pursued by you. Yes, you've caught them. Yes, you put a ring on it. You've got her on lockdown. She's stuck with you forever, right? Either until you die or Christ returns. She's not going anywhere. However, this doesn't excuse the fact that she still desires to be pursued by you. She wants this. And furthermore, she needs this. She needs you to pursue her. So men, are you still pursuing your wives? Are you still pursuing your wives, still chasing after the men? Are you still dating your wives? Yes, you're married, but are you still dating her? Are you still buying her flowers? Are you still treating her like you did in those first few days, weeks, months, even years after you first met? Men, are you still as crazy for your wives as you were those years ago? Are you still willing to fight for her? Are you still willing to pursue her and not let her get away? You need to prove it to her. But I don't have time, some of you are saying. Man, with all the stress at work, with all the stuff with our kids and like sports and hobbies, I don't have time or energy to put into pursuing my wife. I'm too busy watching playoff hockey. If that's you this morning, if you're saying this to yourself in your head, then I'm telling you today, you are pursuing the wrong things. Men, listen carefully. You're not married to your work. You're not married to your kids or your friends. You're not married to your hobbies. You're not married to your favorite type of beer. You're married to your wife. The love of your life, and she, apart from God, is to be the primary person who receives your best time, your greatest efforts, your undivided attention, and your heart's fullest passion. Guys, pursue your wives. Chase after them. Make them feel like they're the most important woman in the world, because newsflash, they are. Pursue your wives. This is a little fox. Failing to pursue our wives, pursuing other things at the expense of our relationship with our wives. This lack of pursuit is a little fox, and it is eating at the vineyard of your relationship. It's eating at the roots of your love and slowly destroying the strength and the life of your marriage. So husbands, man, one more time, you need to pursue your wives. Even though you got her, you're married, you still need to date her. You still need to chase after her. You still need to spoil her once in a while and give her the best of your energy and your attention. Those things shouldn't be going to sports. Those things shouldn't be going to your work or your hobbies. They need to go to your wife. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we read that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her. Sacrificing all for it, devoting all of his energy and time to the establishment of the church, to the church's well-being. Husbands, this love, this call to love your wives, that word is like a verb. It's not passive, it's an active word. You need to actively pursue your wives all the days of your life. And wives, mothers, I'm beating up on the guys, but I'm coming back to you. The same goes for you too. Are you still pursuing your husbands? I find it interesting that the first person to speak in Song of Songs is the woman. It's the woman who speaks first. Are you still pursuing your husbands? Are you putting them and their needs first before the needs of your kids, before the needs of your friends or your parents, before your duties at work or your duties as a homemaker? Are you putting the needs of your husband first? You need to put your spouse first, giving them the best of your energy, the best of your attention, the best of your affection before anything and everything else. Without pursuit in our marriages, this will negatively affect us, friends. It will. It might look different in each situation, but it will negatively affect us. And if we're pursuing the wrong things at the expense of our spouse, this is not good. This is a little fox. And we need to remove these foxes from our vineyards. So pursue your spouse. Don't pursue other things at the expense of your spouse. Don't let someone else pursue your spouse. Pursue your spouse. All right, moving on. The second little fox I want to talk about this morning, it has to do with beauty. All right, in Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we read these words, "I am a rose of Sharon," says the woman. "I'm a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys." And then the man answers her with this, "Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women." The woman is beautiful. And she knows this and acknowledges it. And her husband knows it and acknowledges it. So ladies, I was just beating up on the guys, right? What I'm going to say next might sound a little off, but please hear me out. I already preached at a 9. It went over okay. I preached this to my wife last night. I was like, "Katie, rip me to shreds. Is there anything that could be like, am I going to get hate mail?" She's like, "No, you're fine, okay?" So I think we're on the up and up. But ladies, just I'm saying this humbly. I'm coming to you in humility. Wives, you need to be beautiful for your husbands. Just as the woman in this song recognizes her own beauty, she calls herself a rose, right? Women, wives, mothers, you need to recognize your own beauty. And you need to be beautiful for your husbands. Now, I'm not talking about vanity this morning. Some of the things that I'm saying today could be misheard or misinterpreted. So please don't do that. Listen to the words I'm saying. I'm not talking about vanity today. I'm not talking about plastic surgery or having a neurotic obsession with working out and going to the gym or dieting or looking like the anorexic models, those fake Photoshop models in the fronts of magazines. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about spending 4 hours in front of the mirror every day and putting on a ball gown and tiara for when your husbands come home from work, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Please don't hear that. I'm not talking about fake, vain beauty. What I'm talking about this morning is beauty, real beauty, God-given beauty. I'm talking about being beautiful and intentional for your husbands. And women, I'm addressing you right now, I know that. But the same principles, they still apply to men. So guys, listen up. Don't turn your hearing aids off, okay? Women, God has made you by far the more fairer of the two sexes. You've been designed and created to live out your God-given beauty and to be beautiful for your husbands, to captivate them, to satisfy them, to intoxicate them, as the writer of Proverbs so poetically writes in Proverbs 5:19. He says, you are to intoxicate them with your beauty. I think this is part of our duties as, not mine, as wives, as women, to intoxicate and satisfy your husband with your beauty. Now, I know that many of you are moms, and I know that being a mother and a homemaker, if that's what you are, that's hard work. Trust me, my wife stays at home with our two kids. Maverick, my son, he's 2.5, and Avelyn, my daughter, she's 1. They're 18 months apart. They're beautiful. They're awesome. We love them. They're also kind of crazy at times, right? And they just run around. They keep my wife chasing after them all day long. And it's hard work. Being a parent, being a mom is hard work. I say to my wife, probably on like a weekly, bi-weekly basis, I say, Katie, I could not do your job. I'm a pastor, and that's not an easy job, but I say to my wife, I could not do your job. I couldn't do it. It's hard. It's 24/7. You know, when I'm sleeping, she's up with our baby at the night. She doesn't get weekends off. It's a hard job. It eats up a large majority of your time each and every day. But the fact remains, ladies, wives, mothers, you need to be beautiful for your husbands. We, men, we understand that whether you work in the home or outside of it, that you're busy, that you're exhausted. We work hard too. But as husbands, as men created by God who are visual and who enjoy looking at you, our wives, only our wives, right? Guys, we enjoy looking at our wives. We do. We like to look at you. And yes, you're always beautiful. You're always beautiful to us, but if the only outfit we ever see you wearing consists of sweatpants and a hoodie, you know, if you never wash your face or do your hair or put on some makeup once in a while, we miss how beautiful you can look. Women, just remember back to when you were dating your now husbands. Maybe you're in a dating relationship right now. Just think back to that. You spend hours making yourselves look, maybe not hours, I don't know, making yourselves look as best you could, right? You kind of spent time worrying or thinking about what should I wear? How should I do my hair? Is he going to be captivated by the way I look? Is he going to be captivated by my beauty, satisfied by my beauty? And I'm letting you know that we as men, we need to see you like that sometimes again. And I don't mean just once a year on your anniversary. We love it when you look beautiful for us. You know, in a way, this kind of ties in with fox number one, right? Fox number one, the fox of pursuing your spouse, putting your spouse first. Wives, by putting on, like doing yourselves up and making yourselves your most beautiful self for us, for your husbands. Not for anyone else, but for your husbands. By being intentional about this. This speaks to us, and this tells us, this reminds us, this affirms in us, in men, that we are the primary person in your lives. That we are the ones who get your best energy. That we are the ones who get your fullest passion and your undivided attention, your most beautiful self. Again, I'm not saying you need to put on a ball gown. I'm not saying you need to put on the tiara, but I'm saying be beautiful for your husbands. Be intentional for them. And then believe them when they tell you you're beautiful. Can I get an amen, guys? Amen. All right, cool. Good. Right? And the same principle goes for you guys. Man, I'm going to speak to you. Be attractive for your wives. Be attractive for your wives. Clean up for your wives once in a while. If your wife likes a clean-shaven face, then shave for her. Be intentional about it. Be attractive for your wife, for your spouse. Beauty. Maybe we should have called it intentionality. A lack thereof in our marriage relationships. Friends, this is a little fox. When we let ourselves go, when we don't realize how beautiful and unique we've been made by God and then live that out in our marriages, our marriages lose excitement. They lose freshness. God made marriage to be beautiful. He created it as this good and beautiful thing. So let's live that beauty out. Let's be intentional for our spouses. And one more thing, men. I'm talking to you for just a moment here. Men, you need to affirm your wives in this area. You need to remind them day in and day out that they're smoking hot. That she's still the apple of your eye. She always will be. And that your eyes, your heart is for her and her alone. That's it. You've got tunnel vision. And your eyes are on her. Tell them this. Make her believe it. Tell this to her often. And when she dresses up for you, when she goes out of her way to be beautiful and to be intentional for you and you alone, acknowledge this. Acknowledge it. Comment on this. Tell her how beautiful she is. Tell her how captivated you are by her, how intoxicated you are by her, how satisfied you are by her. All right, moving on. Let's look at Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 7, the second half. There we read these words, "Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires." Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. In my study of this chapter, Song of Songs, I've come to understand or believe that there's two interpretations that we can get from this verse. The one I want to talk about has to do with spontaneity. Spontaneity. Again, Pastor Sandy kind of touched on this a couple weeks ago when he preached on how busy we can be in our lives. How chaotic life and family and marriage and home can get. But this doesn't excuse the fact that we need spontaneity still in our marriages. Yes, there's a time and a place for planning. Yes, when work is involved and when kids are involved and when extracurricular activities fill up every free space on the calendar, spontaneity seems impossible, but our marriages can't go without this. We need to have fun as husbands and wives. Wouldn't you agree? As we read of in Ecclesiastes 9, we're supposed to enjoy life with our spouse, whom we love, whom God has given to us as a gift, and we are for our spouse, and our spouse is for us. We are for each other's enjoyment. So why do we allow our relationships to become dull or dry? Why do we allow our marriages to get boring or monotonous or predictable or so busy and crazy that we don't have time for one another? Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. So then why do we schedule date nights once a week or once a month? And that's the one night we can make love to our spouse. Or that's the one night we can actually spend time together and talk face to face. We need spontaneity in our marriages. When our marriages become dull, dry, and dead, this is a little fox. When we get bored of our marriage, bored of our spouse, this is such a dangerous area. Because then we're going to look for something else that will pique our interest. We're going to look for something else that will excite us. So don't have boring marriages. Have fun together. I don't know what this looks like to you, spontaneity, but maybe you need to schedule some free time into your schedule to just hang out with your spouse. Maybe you need to take an afternoon off together once in a while. Maybe you need to go on a coffee date or do dinner together. If you've never been on a holiday, maybe you need to hop on a plane and go down to Mexico for 10 days. I don't know. But I do know that God desires you would enjoy this life with your spouse. And he's designed marriage for our enjoyment. So be spontaneous. You know, shake things up with your spouse. Have fun. Don't let your marriage become dull, dry, boring, predictable, monotonous. A lack of spontaneity in our marriage is dangerous. A boring marriage, a dull marriage, it's just a little fox waiting to destroy the vineyard. I said there's two interpretations of this, and so I'll quickly talk about the second one. On the flip side, the second understanding from this verse, I think it's a solid, good piece of biblical advice for those of you perhaps who are not yet married. Maybe you're in a dating relationship or a courting kind of a relationship, and that's this, that we should not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Do not arouse or awaken love until the right time, the right season. Simply put, don't have sex before you're married. Don't awaken this kind of passion, this kind of love until the right time, the right season. And that's when you're married, husband and wife, before God, before man, one family, one flesh. Unchecked premarital passion is another little fox. And this is such a dangerous area. Culture says it's fine. That's fine. Go ahead and do it. But God's word says no. Because he's trying to keep us safe, friends. He's trying to protect us, guard us from those little foxes that could and would destroy the vineyards of our love and relationships. So be spontaneous, but also be appropriate for the season of life and love that you're in. And if you're not married, don't awaken love until it's proper time. All right, last but not least, fox number four, exclusivity. Exclusivity. A little bit of content or context for verse 15, our theme verse. You know, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, right? In this song, chapter 2, we have the man and the woman. It sounds like they're having a conversation. They're talking back and forth. The man speaks, then the woman speaks, and they respond. However, they're actually separated, the man and the woman, by time and space. They're not together. They are distanced and apart from one another. And so the man is speaking when that happens, when he says that, do not awaken love, catch for us the foxes. The man is speaking it. And what we kind of understand is that there's this tone or this voice of worry that is coming from the man. He's apart from his lover. And he's worried for her. He's worried for her safety, for her well-being. He's maybe scared. Maybe he doesn't trust some of the people that she's with. And he's saying, catch for us the foxes, he's saying, that could destroy the vineyard. He's worried, I think, that his love might be swept off her feet by someone else, stolen away from him. He's worried. However, his fear, his lack of trust, whatever it might be, it's quickly removed by words of affirmation and assurance that there's this thing called exclusivity between the man and the woman. In Song of Songs chapter 2, verse 16, the woman assures the man. She says this, my beloved is mine and I am his. My beloved is mine and I am his. There is no other for me than you, she's saying. You and you alone are the object of my love. You and you alone have my heart and my fullest affection. You and you alone can have me, all of me. Nobody else gets that. But you and you alone, I am yours, you are mine. There is no other. Friends, this is the way that God designed marriage. One man, one woman, together, that's it. No third party, no extracurricular activities. It's husband and wife. Exclusivity. This is so important. This is vital to our marriages and our relationships. All right, but we're talking about little foxes today, right? Little foxes. And this, to me, when I hear that word exclusivity, that doesn't seem like a little fox. That's kind of a big thing, right? Like infidelity, that word kind of pops into my mind. But I'm telling you again that we're talking about the little things. The little things, the small things, those things that do or don't maybe seem kind of questionable or permissible or allowable in our marriages. And when I talk about exclusivity, I'm not so much warning about infidelity this morning, but those little things, the things that could still compromise the exclusivity in our marriages. All right, so for men, like for instance, when you're out and about, maybe you're at work and you see that beautiful woman in the office, you see that beautiful woman in the gym, you see that beautiful woman at the grocery store, that woman who is not your wife, and you don't just look once, but you look a second time, and you look a third time. Friends, this is a little fox. It might seem like it's no big deal. It might seem like this action of just looking, just glancing, it doesn't affect you, but it does. This is working to compromise the exclusivity of your marriage, and this is a little fox looking at something, desiring something that does not belong to you. That's breaking this vow of exclusivity. It was Jesus himself that redefined fidelity. He redefined exclusivity when he said, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent in their heart has already committed adultery with her in his heart." We need to guard ourselves from this little fox that could or would destroy the exclusivity of our marriages. Or wives, what about you? What does this little fox of exclusivity look like for you? Ladies, married ladies, do you ever find yourselves at work or at the grocery store, at the gym, and do you ever catch that hunk of a guy checking you out? Do you ever see him checking you out, and maybe you look back at him? Do you ever stop? Do you ever soak it in? Do you ever give him the eyes, right? You know the eyes. Do you make eyes with him? Do you flirt back? That's not cool. That's a little fox. And it's eating, it's nibbling, it's chewing at the exclusivity of your marriage. You might think it's no big deal, but this little fox's desire is to consume you. It's to steal what you have. It's to destroy what you have. And it's to ruin the exclusivity of your marriage. These kind of things not only dilute the exclusivity in our marriages, but they are a danger to us and to our spouse, to our love for one another, our exclusivity for one another. All these things we've been talking about this morning, they're the little things, right? They kind of seem inconspicuous. They're the small things. They seem insignificant, but they're not. They're a big deal. Lack of pursuit, issues of beauty, spontaneity, exclusivity. These are all little foxes, friends. And the man in this song says, catch for us. Catch for us the little foxes. The little foxes in the vineyard. The vineyard that is in bloom. These little foxes don't just affect marriages that are already in crisis. These affect marriages that are already in full bloom. Good marriages, strong marriages, healthy marriages. Little foxes can still sneak in here and there. And we need to be on guard of this. And then we need to do the hard work of catching for us together as husbands and wives, the little foxes that are in our vineyards. We need to be intentional about this. You got to address it, talk about it, pray about it. You need to find these little foxes. You need to grab hold of them and throw them out of your garden, out of your vineyard. Eradicate them from your marriage. This will take work. This will not be easy. It won't happen overnight. And it will take both parties, both husbands and wives, working together as a team to make sure that these little foxes have no place in our vineyards. You know, saying in this series, getting stronger starts now. Getting stronger starts now. It does. It starts here. It starts now. It starts this morning. I don't know what this looks like for you. Maybe something that I'm saying, everything I'm saying has nothing to do with you, but there's another little fox in your marriage. I don't know what that is, but I believe in my heart of hearts that getting stronger does start now. Maybe you need to talk with your spouse this morning. Maybe you need to confess something to your spouse or address something with your spouse this morning. Maybe you need to stop making excuses. Or you need to forgive your husband or your wife. Or you need to work hard together. Wives, don't just let your husbands do the work. And husbands, don't just let your wives do the work. Do it together. I don't know what getting stronger looks like. But we must do this. We need to get stronger. And it starts now. Let's do the hard work this morning and identify these things that could ruin our vineyards. All right, in closing, I'm going to call the worship team up. And I want to say this. Yes, getting stronger starts now. But we need to realize this morning that we can't do it alone. We cannot do this alone. We can't go it alone. We can't make our relationships stronger by our own strength or cunning or wisdom. Because we don't have what's in us to do that. We really don't. We need the help of our God and our King, Jesus Christ, the one who is with us, the one who is for us, our solid rock, our firm foundation. We need him at the very core of who we are as men and women, at the very core of our relationships with one another. We need Jesus. If we want strong marriages, if we want strong relationships, if we want strong families, these things must be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. In Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14, the man in this love poem, he describes the woman, his love, as a dove, and she's hiding herself in the clefts of the rock. She's finding her strength there, her security there. And while this passage isn't saying that we're doves, we need to hide ourselves in Jesus, the rock, the passage really isn't saying that, but I think it's a perfect picture of just that. That we need to hide ourselves in the rock that is Jesus Christ. We need him. He is the firm foundation of everything. He's the creator. He created this thing called marriage. He understands how it works. And he knows that we need his help. We need him. Would you agree? So if we want to get stronger now, if we want our marriages to get stronger now, we need Jesus, our rock, our firm foundation.